Wow, it is so great to have this place packed, right? It's good. God's good, right? All the time. Good. I'm glad you know that one. We're excited to be here today. If you have your bulletin, pull out your outline. I'm just absolutely pumped about sharing this with you. I think that today I can give you a tool in your Christian toolbox that's going to help you go a long way in your Christian life. And how many of you deal with temptation? Put up your hand. Okay. Some of you just aren't aware of it, but that's okay. We all deal with temptation, right? So how do we deal with it? I want to let you know that the enemy uses the same deal every time. When you know his schemes, you can, by the Spirit, come through on the other side without being scathed. Are you ready to hear something like that this morning? Okay, it's only going to be 2 hours now. Little boy was lost during the Christmas shopping rush. And by the way, only 19 more Sundays till Christmas. I just want to put life into perspective for you today. He was standing in the aisle of a busy department store crying, "I want my mommy!" And people kept passing by him and giving the unhappy youngster loonies and toonies. And finally, the store manager came over and said, "I know where your mother is, son." And the little boy looked up with tears in his eyes and said, "So do I. Just don't tell her where I am." Today, I want to give you something practical to put in your toolbox that will help you when you get tempted. And notice I didn't say, if you get tempted. I said, when you get tempted. If there's one thing I've realized as I walk in this earth, is that as long as you and I have breath, we have an opportunity to be tempted. Even spirit-filled people fall into temptation, even if they are wise about the schemes of the enemy. Last year, I heard about a pastor, and in this past week, I heard about a pastor who was leading a very large church who was terminated due to a temptation that he had succumbed to. No one is absolved from temptation, folks. And whenever I hear of these stories, my heart breaks and I understand just how frail every one of us is. As I've said this before, we're all only one decision away from jail. Let's think about that. You're just one decision away from jail. But by the grace of God, here go there go I, and there you go too. So, you see, here's what I know. The moment that you and I become followers of Jesus Christ, we become keenly aware of a battle that's within our lives. Our past sins have been forgiven, yet we know how acute, with acute insight, just how close we are to the return of our former way of life. You see, we're not alone. The Apostle Paul understood this as well. But listen to the words from Cheryl's favorite book, the book of Romans. Look, it's in your notes. "I do not understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing that I hate." He understood the conflict in our hearts to live a victorious life. And many scholars believe this statement was an indication of his utter inability to walk a holy life without the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And I've seen it so many times when people come to Christ, they're so excited for the first 12 months. And it's a thrill to watch that. And then they hit a wall. And I believe this is part of the plan of God, by the way. You might be going, "Well, why do I say that?" That's a great question. It's because up to the point of our conversion, we've been thinking and talking and walking a life that most of us have lived for years. And so we have old thinking and habits and patterns that we need to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And so many would say, you know, you'd say the same words that Paul said, that transformation takes time. We come to the end of ourselves before we can, we have to come to the end of ourselves, pardon me, before we can surrender all we have to Jesus. This is once again where we as a part of the Alliance believe that sanctification is both a crisis and a progressive work in our life. Have you had a crisis or a new crisis where you've given into the power of God? You've just basically surrendered? Here's what I know about the work of sanctification, is that just as you surrender one area, then another area comes up to the light. And that's why we believe it's both a crisis and a progressive crisis. Because we have crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis. Because we have to surrender more and more and more and more of our life to God. Amen? You see, you and I are faced with the reality of sin creeping in at our door, but we also have to understand the world that we live in. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to the person whom they come. Friends, we live in a world, a sinful world, where temptations are going to come our way, and there's a special warning for those who bring temptation. But how do you and I handle temptation? Well, I'm going to give you five action steps today. I'm going to give you five practical things that you can do when you're faced with temptation. Ready to go? Number one, predetermine your pattern of temptation. How well do you know yourself in this regard? Have you reflected upon your temptations and dissected just to see how you're susceptible? You see, preparation is so key in putting together a plan before the opportunity comes. Listen to the writer of Proverbs, Proverbs 4. Plan carefully what you do. Avoid evil and walk straight ahead. Don't go one step off the right way. I invite you to look in your notes this morning and consider these key questions when you look at the temptation that you have in your life. And every one of you knows right now what I'm talking about. Where you've been tempted and where you fell. Where you've been tempted, you succumbed. And I want to share with you, there's five things, five questions you need to ask yourself. Here's the first one. When am I most tempted? I want to share with you, right beside this, there's two times. After a large victory and when you're tired. Go through the scriptures. When were the people tempted? After a large victory. David was tempted after a large victory. Elijah was tempted after a large victory. Because, oh man, look at what we've done. And we relax and bam. Or when we're tired. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Number two, where am I most tempted? Is it when you're home alone? When you're at the office alone? When you're driving in your car alone? When is it? You got to identify where is it? Because here's what I know. If you know where it is, then don't go there. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But some of us don't know that we're walking right into a path where we're going to be tempted. Number three, who is with me when I'm most tempted? Okay. Is it the crowd I'm hanging with, teenagers? You know, when I'm with this group of teenage friends, I'm okay, but when I'm with this group, oh boy, do I get in trouble. Know who you're hanging with. The same with adults, right? Number four, what temporary benefit do I get if I give in? What is it that I'm looking for? We just sang the words, Christ is everything to me. If Christ is everything to you, then why are you looking for something extra? The biggest deception of sin is that first there, for most of us, is that there's no immediate repercussions. All we do is feel good when we're eating that chocolate. I know I'm going to step on toes this morning. Pull them in. That's why in the Bible, in Hebrews, it says, there is pleasure in sin, but for a short time. Number five. How do I feel right before I'm tempted? Do you know how you feel before you're tempted? Here's how I know you feel. You feel invincible and you feel selfish. If you think or say the words, oh, this will never happen to me, or I can handle this, no problem. When I hear that and when you hear that, the bells should go ringing off and the whistles should start flying and singing, because that's a warning sign. So for some of you, maybe you need to sit down this afternoon and look at those five questions and just figure out, do I know what my plan is? Who I need to stay away with? The time I need to be looking out for? And what I'm kind of feeling before? Because this will help you. Number two, protect the condition of your heart. Protect the condition of your heart. Understand that when you get a thought about a temptation, that you have control over that thought. Your thoughts have to pass through the filter of your unconscious mind where your values and your self-interest and your memories and your belief systems lie. When your heart is protected, you can rely on the intuition, because I believe that that's God speaking to us. The intuition in us that tells us that there's danger in those thoughts that we're having. You see, your thinking has the ability of being your gatekeeper. And you might say, well, why is that important? We'll get to that in a second. Listen to the words of Solomon once again. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, you're motivated. Out of the heart, you're driven. I've discussed this with many of you that before, when I was going through my most difficult, challenging times of my life, that I had a simple acronym that helped me go through the landmines of pain in my life. It was a very practical tool. And let me give it to you. It's not in your notes. If you want to write it down, here are four words I want to give to you, because this might be helpful too. Write down the word, the letter H, A, L, and T. And I'll give you four words. Because some of you fall into temptation when you get into one of these or two of these at the same time. You ready? This morning, it's a very practical tool to help you guard your heart. Number one is when you're hungry. Some people, even when they're not in pain, are a little bit crusty when they're hungry. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look hungry today. Or they call it hangry, right? They call it. Do you recall the commercial where the people were different people until they were given a Snickers bar? We ought to hand out Snickers bars on the way in. No, I'm just teasing. That wouldn't help. That helped some, but that wouldn't help others, I'm sure. Yeah, I know some people who should have Snickers bars with them all the time. But anyway. Sorry, I'm just having fun with you. H stands for hungry. A stands for angry. This was number two in my list. When you're in pain as well as going through the normal duties of life, remember Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, in your anger do not sin. Many times anger is a red flag for us, but be on the lookout for anger, and even more specifically, what triggers what makes you get angry. And I'll guarantee that something is in your way. Anger happens in our life when we hit a roadblock that we don't see coming. If you don't believe me, just watch your kids this afternoon. Put something in front of their way that they want and see how they react. We're no different. Okay? L stands for lonely. This condition can be harmful. This is one of the biggest areas that I had to watch. I was so grateful for the support group that I had, who gave me unlicensed permission to call them or text them or drop in. Because when I was going through my worst experience in my life, the weekends were the hardest for me. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, says some wonderful things about loneliness and aloneness and distinguishing the difference. I think I got these in your notes. He says that loneliness is inner emptiness. In other words, it's a preoccupation with poor me, feeling sorry for me, I'm blue. Loneliness is when I focus upon my problems to the place where I literally won't even allow somebody else to walk into my life. And then he goes on to say there's a difference between loneliness and aloneness. You see, loneliness is about inner emptiness. Aloneness is about inner fulfillment. Aloneness is when I say, I'm going to be alone with Jesus. I can recover. I can repair. I can regroup. Aloneness is a choice we sometimes make where we need space to have time alone with God. It's what I call spiritual space. It's good for us. Jesus, when he was with many, many people, it says that he would go to a place where he was alone, where he would recover, where he would pray, where would he seek the Father's face. He wasn't lonely. He didn't have an emptiness inside of him. He knew there was a thing that he had to recharge inside him. You see, one is healthy, one is not. One lifts us up and one tears us down. Letter T. I'm so glad that you're so gracious. Stands for tired. And this was my biggest challenge. Probably is for you too. Being sleep deprived changes your whole world. I found that this was one that I had to protect, because if I didn't protect it, it absolutely caused me to fluctuate in all of my perspectives. Now, there's a list. That list became a constant companion to help me ward off some of the potential temptations in my life. Now, there's a temptation or a heart test list in your notes that we're not going to spend time in. But let me just kind of give you an idea of how you may score. If you score between 35 and 40, you're okay. You can continue to walk in humility. If you score between 25 and 35, you're vulnerable, which means you might need to consider finding a partner that will help you with this. If you're between 15 and 25, you're in trouble. You need to contact a confidant. And if you're between 1 and 15, you need to call a counselor. Seriously. So go and take some time to look through that. That's why I'm not going to be here for 3 hours, because we're not going to go through them point by point. And all God's people said. All right, here we go. Let's keep going. We don't have time to sit and go through this test, but let me encourage you, for your sake, to honestly answer these from time to time to see if your heart is vulnerable. Now, folks, look at me this morning. Only you are responsible for your heart. No one else. We're commanded to protect our feet from stumbling, but only you and I have responsibility for our heart. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, don't give the devil a foothold. Any one of these conditions that I've just shared with you can give the devil a place in your life or a piece of land in your life to do his work of minimizing the impact of sin, harboring that bitterness, holding on to that unforgiveness, allowing him to gain any real estate in your life. You see, because all the enemy needs is just a little bit of ground. And then he'll get a little more ground, and he'll get a little more ground, and he'll get a little more ground. The best way for you to take up his real estate is repentance. Kick him off. Predetermine your temptation pattern. Protect the condition of your heart. Thirdly, pray for God's help. I love this little funny story. Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy, nasty, or selfish. And I'm really glad of that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot of help. Thank you. Amen. I need to do that every morning, eh? If you and I are going to be able to consistently overcome temptation, we need to admit to ourselves and to God that we cannot handle this alone without his help. Matthew 26:41 says, keep alert and pray, otherwise temptation will overpower you. The problem is you can't do this on your own. You do need help. No one knows how to help you like your Father in heaven. Consider this gift in Psalm 25. Call to me when trouble comes, and I will save you. The promise is that God will come to your aid if you call upon him. Why is it that for most of us, God is our last resort rather than our first request? He is our lifeline. But more than this, we do not have a God who's disconnected to our situation. The writer of Hebrews states that Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to our gracious God, that we will receive his mercy and grace to help us when we need it. The person who has already walked the path is Jesus. He knows the rejection. He knows the pain. He knows the betrayal. He knows the accusations. Draw near to him. Number four, point your attention elsewhere. When you feel sad, you can, you know how, you know what will quickly change your mind? Do something good for somebody else. Then good things happen to you. You have to change your focus. Don't focus on the problem. Look at what James says in James chapter 1. Temptation is the pull of your own evil thoughts and wishes. These evil thoughts lead to evil actions. What James is saying here is that we're affected by the presence of evil in our lives. So what do we need to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Real simple. We need to take captive every thought and make it obey Christ. The greatest way to overcome temptation in your life is to take full responsibility for the way that you think and to bring all those things that you're thinking under the scrutiny of God's word. Here's a simple yet profound truth. Fighting a feeling only reinforces it. Write that down. Fighting a feeling only reinforces it. Or you get what you fight for. It's no secret that the older you get, the more you have to pay attention to what you eat. And one of the diet experts that I have read says to get rid in your house all the foods that you need to cut out of your life. Man, my pantry would be empty. But for me, that would be easy. I love chocolate. None of you love chocolate, I know. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. I will not think about chocolate. I will not think about chocolate. I will not think about chocolate. What am I doing? I'm focusing on chocolate. Think about how you love apples. I love apples. I love apples. What am I not thinking about? You get it. Replace the thought. Replace the habit with something good. Some of you are struggling with doing the same thing over and over again, and it's not a good thing in your life. And all it has become is a habit to you. And so rather than fight it, replace it. Change your habit. That's what you need to do. It's really that simple. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. You must practice the principle of replacement. You see, here's how you get into trouble. Here's how the devil tempts you. If you know anything about fishing, you know about how the devil tempts you. First of all, he gets your attention. He puts that worm on the hook, and you see the worm. And usually it's a thought or something that you see. Now, by the way, a thought and what you see, you haven't sinned yet. Temptation. Jesus was tempted as we were. And we are, pardon me. Yet he was without sin. See, when you're tempted, you haven't sinned yet. So don't feel guilty yet. Be alive that this is an opportunity. Second thing is arousal. What it does is it stirs up. Oh, I like that worm on that hook. But I don't know there's a hook there. I like that. I want that. Whenever I talk to my mom and I say, Mom, I'm thinking about this. She goes, do you need this or do you want this? I go, Mother, why do I call you? By the way, I can't talk to her on Sunday mornings now. She's going to church. So whenever I would call her, she was, you know, home and she was in her bed in her home now. So I said, Mom, it's great that you're going to church, but I got to find another time to call you. Habit. I got to make a new one, right? The third thing is action. That's when you act on it. That's when you grab the hook. It's all the way through Scripture. You can find it in Genesis with Adam and Eve, all the way through. That's the way it happens. That's how the devil baits you every time. Know it. Number five, participate in a support group. A small group. My accountability group in Mississauga, those friends that I have forever, I met with all of them. And I saw every one of them again at assembly this past May. But one of the hardest times in my life when I was going through those difficult years of ministry, it was during this time that knowing I was going to have to answer the questions of my peers that kept me from wandering down paths that I shouldn't go. You see, one of the most misguided values that we have in the Western world is that we don't understand the safety and the security of community. Ecclesiastes 4, I love these words. Better are two than one, because together if one falls, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, there's no one to help him. We live in a self-sufficient, self-reliant world that does not ask for help. And there are three major ambushes in any man or woman's life that will prevent him from finishing strong, taken from the life of Solomon. There are three ambushes. One's the ambush of another woman, because it was all his wives that turned his heart. So you have to be aware of that. Number two, the ambush of money. Remember, Solomon had all the money in the world. Pulled his heart away. Number three, the ambush of a neglected family. How Rehoboam, his son, just absolutely wanted him dead. You see, we have to understand that we need each other. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, admit your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. One of the highlights of my time here in Fort Saskatchewan has been not only ministering to you on Sunday morning, but also those precious times when I've been able to meet with each one of you one-to-one and have you share your journey with me. As we've admitted our humanity to each other and to God, and God has healed broken relationships and built bridges in many of our lives, for some of you, you need a group. You need a small group. A group of trusted, authentic, unconditional, loving people who are seeking to live for God in holiness and obedience just like you. And soon we'll be giving you an opportunity to join a group, and we've got a special campaign coming in January that I want you to be a part of, so you want to be in a group. I know I'm already thinking about January, I'm sorry. But Paul encourages us this morning with these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, hang on to these words, folks. No temptation that comes your way is beyond what others have had to face. You're not alone. You're not unique in that sense. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. You may think, well, Bob, you're just a softy. You're just not strong enough. Or maybe you just haven't been tested yet. Maybe you haven't faced difficulties, but guess what? They'll come. Listen to these words. How do I know he's my fortress until with arrows flying all around me, I run with all my heart to his open gates? How do I know he's my hiding place until I hear the enemy crashing in the brush behind me, feel his breath breathing on the back of my neck, and cry out for a place of refuge? How do I know he's my portion until all I treasure and hold dear is suddenly threatened or taken from me? How do I know he's my father until I feel orphaned and abandoned and left alone in the storm? How do I, like Peter, learn that he is my deliverer until I step out of the boat and plant my feet on the sea? Don't let temptation defeat you. Let temptation teach you just how faithful and loving your God is. Dear people, I'm so proud of you. And each of you have wrestled with God in his timing and the healing of the past and the refocusing of the future and trusting God to lead you into the future. And as I shared with the elders, I think the best is yet to come. Now close your Bibles and your notes. Let me just chat with you for a minute, all right? Close them all up. There's nothing more profound that's going to be said, so just don't bother writing. How are we doing? Oh, I still got 2 hours. Okay. I know some of you are a little bit nervous about the next few months. But I want to share with you, there's a huge difference between how you entered last summer and how you're entering in this summer. Because last summer you didn't know the plan, you just heard about a man who was going to walk you through it. You didn't even know if he could do it. But this summer we're continuing to trust God to guide us to the right leader. And God will prepare a man in his timing. But today we must join hands to lean into the fall and allow God to use each of us to grow this church. And as I met with the elders this month, I shared with them the goals that I have for this ministry year. And all I want to say to you is buckle up. We got plans. We're not going to sit back. We're not going to rest. We're not going to just kind of go through another year. Last year we went through the process. This time we're going to lean in. I want to invite you to be a part of that. This past week I met with the worship leaders to discuss what I've got planned for the balance of this year. And we're excited to lead you each week into the presence of God. Come expecting to hear from God, will you? It's so encouraging to hear you lean in. But I got two words for you. Buckle up. Because when you come anticipating hearing from God, and as the worship leaders and their team members just prepare and plan and pray through the songs that we're going to sing, you get to touch the hem of the garment of the Heavenly Father, you're going to leave different. In a bit, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, I'll be meeting with all the ministry leaders to help us take our ministries to the next level. I'll be sharing with them the plans that I have and what we're going to be doing. Got two words for you. Buckle up. Let's get going. So take the next few weeks and rest. And trust and believe God has got this covered, because I do. I know, you know what? We have peace about this. We really do. God's in control. And God's got plans. And we're just going to walk with him, right? Let me leave you with these words, my most favorite words from Jeremiah 29. You know these. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. The plans are for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and hope. Amen. Next week, I want to conclude this series and talk about how Jesus changes us. All right, we'll talk about that. Let's pray together. Now, right where you are, just ask you to take a moment and ask God what you need to do in the area of temptation in your life. Do you need to predetermine just kind of where you get hung up? Do you need to take the initiative to protect your heart? This morning, do you need to just cry out to God and ask him for help? For some of you, you just need to change your focus and look somewhere else. And for some of you, you just need to jump into a small group when fall comes around and just commit to just doing life with some other people. And being willing to just share and care and face life together. What's God saying to you this morning? Just respond. And for some, there's just a temptation just to hold back. Be suspicious. Be non-committal. And just coast. I want to just encourage you. Don't give in to that. Just lean in. Let's just do life together this fall and see what God has in plan for us, in store for us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you've been teaching us. And primarily, it's just to trust you, to wait upon you, to do the things that you ask us to do, and to allow your Spirit to work through us. I just rejoice. I rejoice in how you provided for us financially as a church. Lord, it's just so incredible to see how when we all are obedient to give you our tithes, that there's just money to do the work of ministry. Lord, may we continue to lean in and honor you in those areas. And Father, I thank you for the ministries that we have in our church. And Lord, the need that we have right today, starting tomorrow, is in the area of EBS. And Father, we've got kids that have signed up from our community that want to hear about Jesus. And we don't have people to come alongside and help. Lord, I pray that even today you would lay upon the hearts of many here this morning a willingness to say, yes, I want to be a part of that. Lord, thank you for how you're going to fill that need today. May people just run to Brianna and say yes. And Lord, I pray for each one here this morning and the temptations that they face. I pray that today, through your word, and through our lesson this morning, that you've given them some tools to be able to say no to temptation, to identify it, to say no to it, and to conquer it by your Spirit. May we be a people that live a life victorious. And may we, through our life, through our language, and through our lifestyle, just be a beacon of light and salt to those around us that do not know you. That they would be attracted to Jesus in us because of your power at work within us. And Father, we just bless you that we get to gather together as your people and to worship you. So may we continue to do that, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.